Our meeting tonight by singing together we hymn just in our order service. Hear the Saviour say, "Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all." Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Great hymn, great words of encouragement for the believer. Says there in verse 2, "For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb." Praise God, we can rejoice in the Lord tonight and in his salvation and in his precious blood. We'll keep our seats just while we sing. Now, folks, it's a warm night and we're not complaining about the heat. It's great to have it. But if you feel uncomfortable with a mask on you feel free to take the mask off during the service for I know it's not comfortable sitting with a mask on in this heat, so you feel free to do that during the service if you wish to do that. So just remember that, please. Hearts together in prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord this evening, praying the Lord will draw near and bless us around his word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we rejoice afresh tonight in the goodness and in the mercy of our God that finds us here tonight in this place where prayer is one to be made. Father, we come to thee in no merit of our own, but we come to thee through Christ, through the merits of his precious blood, through the merits of his perfect righteousness. O God, we draw nigh before thee. We think of thy word tonight that tells us that we who once were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. And Father, we thank thee for that blood that cleanse of us from all sin. And Father, we thank Thee through the blood of Christ as Thy people were saved from the wrath to come. And Father, we thank Thee tonight that we are complete in Christ and that we can rejoice in the forgiveness of sins and in the great hope of life eternal. And Father, we praise Thee and we thank Thee tonight for health and strength and soundness of body and of mind and the gift of all our faculties and freedom and liberty even to meet together here in this fashion. And Father, we realize that it is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. And Father, we pray from this opening hymn to the last amen that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord with us tonight. Do cleanse our hearts afresh. Do prepare our hearts for Thy word. Bless us through Thy word. Speak to us and encourage us and bless us. Direct us and guide us from Thy word. Give us grace, Lord, to obey Thy word, to live it out in our lives. And Lord, bless us in our season of prayer. Give us help tonight to pray. And pour upon us the spirit of prayer and supplication, we pray. And we thank Thee for answered prayer in the past. And we rejoice, O God, tonight that Thou art upon the throne. And that none can stay Thy hand, O God, or say, what doest Thou, Lord? We thank Thee for all who have been able to join with us tonight. Bless every head bowed before Thee. Bless every family and household represented. Do unite every family circle in the Lord, we pray. Remember, Lord, those listening in online as well, grant Your blessing to be upon them. Remember those that cannot be with us because of age or sickness or infirmity. Lord, bless them. Others who may be off on holiday at this time, grant them a season of refreshing, we pray. And Lord, meet their every need. And bless all our families and all connected with this work and this witness. Unite every family circle in the Lord. And Father, we pray that through our witness here, that the light of the gospel will shine far and wide across this community, and that many will come to know the Savior. Bless our land tonight. Bless other prayer meetings such as this, gospel missions, ministry meetings on at this time, special efforts in the gospel amongst the young as well. Lord, bless wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed. And Lord, we pray that there'll be signs following the preaching of Your word, in the gathering of many unto Christ, even in salvation. Bless us now, I pour Thy Spirit, and grant us a season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read some verses with you. From that chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 1 down to the end of verse number 10. And then we're also reading one verse or part of a verse from Psalm 23 and the verse number 4. So if you'd like to mark those two passages in the Bible, first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then turning back to Psalm 23. Well, you're looking it up. We welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here this evening. Welcome those listening in online as well. I pray the Lord will bless you tonight around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the announcements for the week. Do remember the work party tomorrow night at the church, 7:30. I encourage as many as possible the men folk to gather just for the annual tidy up around the church tomorrow evening at 7:30. And then the meetings on the Lord's Day, morning, 12 noon, and the evening gospel drive-in service at the Mart at 7 p.m. And we'll be along to minister God's word, God willing, at both services. The Vision magazine, the Let the Bible Speak magazines are also available in the ports there. Get your copy as you leave. So do remember that, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse number 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death on ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, to whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And then we're turning back, please, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and just reading the final part of verse number 4, Psalm 23, where it simply says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse number 4. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Now, recently, we have been looking at some of the highlights of Psalm 23. And tonight I want us to consider these final words of verse number 4. And here you have David addressing the Lord. And he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now in our Bible reading, our first reading there tonight in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, we're told there that God is indeed the God of all comfort. And that is one of the unique blessings of God. God is one who specializes in the comfort of his people. And you take note of that many times in the Bible. And this is something he does in particular through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of God's people. And Christ spake of that in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 16, when he says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And one of the great titles of the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The Lord comforts his people by his Spirit, but the Lord also comforts his people through his Word. Remember Paul's words in his letter to the Romans. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And there he speaks of the comfort of the Scriptures. The Word of God is something that brings great comfort to God's people. And you see that especially to be the case in times of suffering or sickness and illness in the lives of God's people. Now, David himself makes reference to this comfort here in our text tonight at the end of verse number 4 of Psalm 23. And he says to the Lord, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And here David is testifying of the Lord's comfort in his life. You'll see there that in relation to this comfort, David makes mention in particular of two items of shepherding. He talks about the shepherd's rod and the shepherd's staff. And the shepherd's rod was a wooden club, and the staff was a longer crook. And David, he uses these two items here to illustrate to us the Lord's comfort in his own life. Remember, the Lord was a shepherd, and he was one of his sheep. And it is indeed that same comfort of the Lord to all his people is the comfort that I want us to look at this evening very briefly. Notice first of all here with me the comfort of the shepherd's rod. The Eastern shepherd was one who would use his rod or his club to protect his sheep from robbers and indeed from harm and from wild beasts. And that surely reminds us of the fact of how the Lord our shepherd is one who protects his people. He is one who defends his people. David speaks of this protection from the Lord in Psalm 20, verse 1, where he says, "The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." And there he speaks of the Lord defending his people. Again, remember the words of the Lord to Abraham. He said, "I am thy shield." And there he was promising to protect him. And Paul himself spoke of this protection and defense in his own life in our reading there in 2 Corinthians. Turn over there again to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at what he says in verses 8 and 9 and 10 about the Lord and his dealings with him. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And there Paul knew the Lord to be his deliverer, his protector, his defender in a time of great danger. And child of God, take comfort tonight from this great truth. In this world in which we live, believer in Christ, the Lord is one who can protect you. The Lord is one who can defend you from all its woes, the woes of this evil, ungodly world. Think of the words of Martin Luther. And that great hymn that he penned many years ago, he said, "Almighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." And there he likens God unto a mighty fortress around about protecting his people. But as well as defending and protecting his sheep, the shepherd also would use his rod or his club to make a way for the sheep. Through the wilderness, through the briars, through the thorns, through the thicket. And likewise, again, that reminds us how the Lord our shepherd is one who can make a way for his people in this evil and ungodly world. And again, the psalmist speaks of that when he says of the Lord, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." In fact, one of the great titles of Christ is the way. He says, "I am the way." He's the one that makes a way for his people in this world. Yes, in times of temptation, the Lord is one who can make a way of escape for us. Turn with me over there to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and look at verse number 13. Look at what Paul says there. He says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Notice there, the Lord can make a way of escape for us from the time of temptation. We can say further tonight that in times of Christian service, the Lord is one who can make a way for us also. The Lord is one who can open up doors of opportunity and doors of service for us as the people of God. You remember what the Lord said to his people in the church at Philadelphia in Philippians chapter 3 in the verse number 7. He says there, "I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." God opened a door of service and opportunity for them. And likewise, believer, in this world, God can open up doors of opportunity and service for you and I as his people and for his church. Then we can say further, in times of need, the Lord also, praise God, has opened up a way for us to come to the throne of grace in the place of prayer. And we read of this way to the throne of grace in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, where it says there, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." And the way for us to the throne of grace, praise God, has been opened up for us through Christ, through his blood, through his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. Believer, we rejoice tonight that in every time of need and in every time of storm, Christian, you can pray. Pray to the God of heaven. The way to the throne of grace is opened up for you through Christ. You can pray. You can seek the Lord's help. This is all because Christ has died and Christ has risen again. The hymn writer says, "From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a safe retreat, 'tis found beneath the mercy seat." And praise God, the way for us tonight to pray is opened up for us by Christ, our forerunner, that we can come, as the Bible says, with boldness, with liberty, to the throne of grace in prayer. Yes, we see here the comfort of the shepherd's rod, but notice secondly tonight the comfort of the shepherd's staff. Notice again what David says in our text. He says, "Thy staff," he says, "it comforteth me."
Now the shepherd's staff was longer than the shepherd's rod. It had a curved crook at one end. And my, the eastern shepherd was one who would use this to restrain his sheep whenever they would seek to go astray. He would also use it to rescue a sheep whenever they maybe had fallen into a hole or had been caught in a thicket or in a bush. And in like manner, Christ the good shepherd is one who does the same for his own people. Yes, when we would seek to go our own way, what does he do? He hedges up our way and he prevents us from going astray. Think of what the Lord said to his people in the book of Hosea. Chapter 2 in the verse number 6, he says, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path." And it is a mercy from God when he hedges up our way with thorns and prevents us from going astray and drifting from him. And then whenever we have gone astray into bypath medicine, the Lord is one who comes to us. We read in the Bible how he's married to the backslider. He does not cast off his people, and he comes to us by his grace and power, and he restores us to himself. And notice we saw it in a past evening how David testified of that in his own life there at the beginning of verse 3 when he says of the Lord, "He restoreth my soul." Praise God, tonight the Lord is one who restores his people. He doesn't cast them off. Doesn't set them aside. He restores them in love and mercy and grace. But as well as using a staff to restrain and correct his sheep, the eastern shepherd was one also who would use a staff to number his sheep and to count his sheep into the fold. And that again reminds us how the Lord, who is one who counts up his own people, he counts his people. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 87, verse 6. He says, "The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there." That tells us how the Lord has a record of all of his people, and that record is found in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows the number of his people, that multitude that no man can number. And that means that he will never forget us who are saved. He says, "Yet will I not forget thee." And believer, no matter what happens to you in this life, the Lord will not forget you because your name is sealed before him. Then also this fact that your name, believer, is recorded in the book of life, not only does it mean that he doesn't forget us, but it also means, believer, the Lord will keep you. The Lord will keep his people unto life eternal. He will preserve you, child of God, unto life eternal. Your place in heaven, believer, is guaranteed through the blood of the cross, through the redeeming work of Christ. Turn with me over to the little book of Jude. Just before the book of the Revelation, there's just one chapter. Go down to the very end of the chapter, the second last verse, to the verse number 24. And here you read of the Lord's keeping power in the life of his people, that preserving power. Jude says, "Now unto him," that's Christ, "that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Praise God, the Lord is one who not only saves his people, the Lord is one who keeps his people. His salvation is an eternal salvation. It's not just salvation for a day or a month or a week or a year. It's salvation that is eternal. Why? Because Christ cried out on the cross, "It is finished." He offered himself one sacrifice for sin forever. He paid the price of our redemption in full. And praise God, when we're saved and redeemed by the blood of Christ, we're counted in. The Lord does not forget us. He is a place prepared for us in heaven. Heaven's glory. The hymn writer says, "Counted in, counted in. Whosoever will believe is counted in." What a jubilee of joy in the heavens then is heard when a soul among the saved is counted in. And child of God, you've been counted in to that innumerable company of saints, that multitude that no man can number. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, we have this tremendous comfort from the Lord. As David says in our text, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What a comfort we have. And this comfort is all because of God's love toward us, all because of God's grace toward us in salvation. Oh, as the Lord's people, let us rejoice in the Lord's comfort. Let us testify of it to others. Let us tell others about it, of the comfort that we have in the Lord. Let us seek day by day to lead others to this very same comfort. That should be our desire day by day. And let us seek to live a life that brings honor to this comfort that the Lord has bestowed upon us. And tonight, yes, as we think of Christ, the Good Shepherd, and His dealings with us as His people, truly, yes, we can say with the psalmist David in the words of this psalm, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Praise God tonight for the comfort that we have in the Lord and Christ our Redeemer. May God bless His word and these few thoughts just to our hearts and to our souls this evening. We're just going to get down to our season of prayer, but there's a few prayer requests I just want to leave with you tonight just to pray about. Do please pray for Sister Mrs. Anna May Dunn, who lost her grandfather. Do pray for her and the family that they'll know the Lord's comfort at this time of loss and mourning. And then our sister, Mrs. Sadie Scott, has requested prayer for her daughter-in-law, Wendy. That's Edward's wife that lives over in, outside Dundee in Scotland. She's ill in hospital with COVID. She went into hospital last Friday. She has other health complications as well and making things difficult for her. So do pray for her tonight. The Lord will touch her. Some of you, I'm sure, would have known Wendy from days gone by. Pray the Lord will raise her up. And she said that Edward and the rest of the family had all tested positive of COVID, but they had no symptoms. So remember them in your prayers at this time, that they'll just know that God's help and the Lord will touch Wendy and raise her up. Remember, please, the services and the drive-in mission. Remember the Reverend Morrow. Pray for him that the Lord will prepare his heart and the Lord will gather the people in to those meetings night by night, and that the Lord would visit those meetings with salvation. Remember the work of Bethel Children's Crusade or Sunday School and the Youth Fellowship. Do remember these works in your prayers. And do remember the sick connected with us. Remember all of us. She continues on with her treatment. Remember our brother James Little as well, who is ill at this time. Remember him, that he'll know the Lord's touch. And Dr. Lindsay Wilson as well, who's still ill. Pray for him that he'll know the touch of God. And remember our missionaries at home and abroad. A number of our children's missionaries, Christina Logan, Robert McCall, Josh Watson, others involved in different outreaches amongst the boys and girls over the summer season and Youth Council camp and outreach as well. These are some of the things just to bring before the Lord in prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray. It's a warm night, so we'll just bring the meeting to a close about 9 o'clock and keep it a wee bit shorter tonight. But remember that, please. Encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord as we just bring these matters to the Lord in prayer, please. So maybe ask our brother...